BBC.
BBC.
Now on BBC World Service, it's time for Witness. And today we go back to December the 24th, 1974, when the British Member of Parliament John Stonehouse was discovered alive in Australia. He had faked his own death in Miami a few weeks earlier. Lucy Burns speaks to Geoffrey Robertson QC, who was his barrister.
It's November 1974 and there's a search going on in Florida for a British MP who's gone missing.
In Miami Beach, the Missing Persons Bureau continues its search.
We're tracing down every clue, every lead that we can get, and we're encouraging anyone who has any information that might help with the case to get in contact with us. This certainly is a mysterious thing that has happened here.
John Stonehouse was the Labour Member of Parliament in Walsall North in the British Midlands and had formerly been a government minister, but he'd disappeared while swimming in the ocean, leaving his passport and money in the hotel and a pile of clothes on the beach.
I've heard some extraordinary rumours, and they're all so much out of character with my husband's personality that, they're just not worth answering or worth thinking about. I'm convinced in my mind that it was a drowning accident.
So the mystery remains. Perhaps Mr. Stonehouse is alive. Perhaps Mr. Stonehouse was murdered. Or perhaps the answer lies somewhere out to sea, as straightforward as it appeared to be when he was first reported missing. The case of a man who went swimming and drowned.
It was a mystery until 5 weeks later, on the 24th of December 1974, a policeman in Melbourne, Australia, noticed a newcomer in town who was behaving oddly, an upper-class Englishman in a suit who had opened bank accounts in two different names. Geoffrey Robertson QC takes up the story.
Well, they didn't know who he was at first, and they sent a cable to Scotland Yard saying, "Are you missing any upper-class person?" And they described the man, and Scotland Yard cabled back and said, "Well, it's either Stonehouse or it's Lucan."
John Stonehouse wasn't the only famous Briton who'd gone missing that year. British peer Lord Lucan had also disappeared, having apparently murdered his children's nanny.
And the difference is that Lucan has a 6-inch-long scar on his right thigh. So the arrest of this mystery man began with the order, "Pull down your trousers." He did, and the vice squad cop saw no scar on the right thigh and said, "You must be John Stonehouse." And Stonehouse drew himself up to his full height and pulled up his trousers and said, "Yes, I am. I'm a member of Her Majesty's Privy Council, and I demand my rights."
Geoffrey Robertson was an up-and-coming young barrister at the time, and John Stonehouse approached him on his return to Britain, having been charged with 18 counts of theft, forgery, attempted insurance fraud and deception after stealing the identities of two of his constituents to make his escape. Stonehouse claimed to have suffered a breakdown brought on by pressure from his political work and the failure of some of his business interests, as he told the BBC on his return.
I have been sick. My psychiatrist confirms that. And I think a member of parliament, like anybody else in any other job, is entitled to some consideration during a period when he has some sort of illness. Of course I regret it, and I'm sorry for all the anguish that's been created, deeply sorry. But in my confused state, I thought, frankly, that the old John Stonehouse was better dead than alive.
He'd lost faith in socialism, he'd lost faith in himself, he'd lost faith in the political process. He'd been a minister, postmaster general, he'd been minister for air, and there was suddenly a loss of belief in all the portentous things that he'd done in life. He came to believe that they were worthless and that the only thing left to him, and he wasn't all that old, was to die an unnatural death.
But while for John Stonehouse this was a deeply serious matter, for the British press, the story was like a Christmas present.
It was an MP caught with their trousers down, in fact, caught with their swimming costume. It was a murder mystery. Lord Lucan could be woven in. And it had everything. And, of course, what excited the sensationalist tabloid press was the love triangle with Sheila Buckley, the secretary mistress, and Barbara, the very loyal, very brave, and ultimately very sensible wife.
Because although John Stonehouse's secretary mistress had been in on his plan, his wife had not, and she was as surprised as anyone to discover that he wasn't actually dead.
We had to satisfy ourselves that she really wasn't in on the attempt to obtain insurance money. And so we had her in, and after grilling her for an hour, we came away utterly convinced that she had nothing to do with it and knew nothing about it. And I think she was an extraordinary and brave woman, because she stayed by his side. And I remember 6 weeks of committal proceedings, she would actually pack lunches for us to have in the cells, picnics we had every lunchtime, and she stood by him during the court case, even there when he was in the dock with Sheila Buckley, and she stood by him till the very last case, and then she quietly divorced him.
Geoffrey Robertson and Stonehouse's psychiatrist did their best to develop an argument that Stonehouse had suffered a breakdown and thus had diminished responsibility for his actions.
He didn't run away from crimes. His crimes were not massive, they weren't serious, and they were all committed in order to allow him to disappear, to change his identity and to live unobtrusively ever after.
The case caught the public imagination, partly because it coincidentally mirrored the plot of the hit TV programme The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin, which started with the main character faking his own death. But even in the face of public ridicule, John Stonehouse held his head high.
He ploughed on irregardless. In thinking of people I've known with thick skins, he would perhaps have the thickest. John, I'm afraid, and against my advice, insisted on maintaining his parliamentary seat. Even in Australia, when he was saying he'd never go back to England, he was still retaining his seat. He continued living life as if he were a cabinet minister. He would go and make speeches in Parliament, and everyone would shun him.
The day before the trial was due to start in April 1976, John Stonehouse fired Geoffrey Robertson and the rest of his defence team, having decided to defend himself. He refused to plead guilty, and instead of allowing himself to be cross-examined, chose to give a dock statement, which lasted for more than 30 hours.
He got up the judge's nose terribly. I had told him, look, if you plead guilty, we could get you 2 or 3 years with the mitigation we have. But if you defend yourself and annoy the judge, then you could get as many as 7, and 7 he received. Over long, it was ridiculous to keep him in prison for that length of time. He was completely harmless.
On his release from prison, John Stonehouse married Sheila Buckley, his secretary, and developed a new career writing thrillers.
It was terribly sad. I remember until he died, I'd get a Christmas card from him every Christmas, and it was always a House of Commons Christmas card, even though he was no longer a member.
John Stonehouse died of a heart attack in 1988. Geoffrey Robertson went on to become one of Britain's top human rights lawyers.
Witness was written and presented by Lucy Burns. If you'd like to join the programme on Facebook or Twitter, just search for BBC Witness.
The BBC World Service.
100 years after Douglas Mawson's pioneering journey to Antarctica, the BBC World Service has joined a team of researchers as they repeat his investigations.
You don't need to do much to the East Antarctic for some of that snow and ice to melt and have global repercussions.
Discovery. Return to Mawson's Antarctica. Continues online at bbcworldservice.com.
This is the BBC World Service.
The newsroom is next, and later in Click, Gareth Mitchell asks if there's now a need for an SMS code of conduct for emergency response following the unprecedented use of text messaging after disasters like the Haiti.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9 degrees in Urbana at 10 o'clock.